What a day. What a day that would have been to be a part of that. Can you imagine being there, experiencing that? A little boy's lunch of 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. It couldn't have been much. I'm thinking of a boy maybe the size of Kaysen here who, as he would have a lunch, it wouldn't be a lot of food. 5 pieces of bread, 2 sardine type fish. But Jesus can take a little and he can make a lot from it. And that's the lesson that we need to remember today. He can take a little and make a lot from it. Would you say that with me? Jesus can take a little and make a lot from it. You and I may have just a little bit to offer him. Just a little bit of talent. Just a little bit of money. Just a little bit of ability. But if we're willing to give him what we have, he can take that and he can multiply it beyond our imagination. Lord, I can't do much. I can't give much, but what I have, I will give you. And Jesus then can take that. He can multiply it more than we ever thought possible. Cecil Todd is a name that some of you old-timers here at Reinhardt will remember. He was a preacher here at Reinhardt back in the 1950s, actually the early 1950s. He was studying at Ozark Bible College, as it was called in that day, in Joplin, Missouri. He was from the Kimeshi Mountains of Oklahoma, which, if you are familiar with those, they're really not mountains, they're hills. The highest peak of the Kimeshi Mountains is 2,500 feet. I read that this last week on the internet. They're southern, they're bordering Arkansas and Texas to the south, Arkansas to the east, and Texas to the south. The Kimeshis, through the years, have been known to have some very backwoods kinds of people there. But this backwoods kind of guy who came from a family of 11 kids started coming here to Reinhardt on weekends when he was a junior in Bible college, and he was preaching on weekends, and as I'm told, he was quite a good preacher, even at that young age. I talked with several of the old-timers from Reinhardt this last week about Cecil Todd. I talked with Joe Schaefer, and she was saying of her memory of Cecil Todd, she would remember he'd come on weekends, and sometimes her mom would invite him to come over on a Saturday lunch or Saturday supper. And he would oftentimes stay at a farm west of where Joe's family lived. Actually, I think Joe told me where Jerry and Betty Waddell live now is where Cecil used to stay on weekends. And so he's to come to their house for supper. And he would walk the railroad, what used to be a railroad there. And you can still see the bed of that railroad as you drive by on Highway D. And Cecil would walk the railroad from one house to their house. And she said he would practice his Sunday sermon as he walked the railroad. And that's how her mom, Joe's mom, would know that it was time to put supper on the table, because they would hear him coming, preaching his sermon on the railroad. He had a booming voice. And Everett talked about that. He had a booming voice. He didn't need a microphone in the old building, the little white building that Reinhardt used to have, because he could be heard very easily. Gary Johnson had an interesting story too about Cecil. One Sunday evening he was preaching and the electricity went off. And Gary and his buddies sitting in the back row thought for sure church would end early that evening, but not a chance. With Cecil preaching, he went right on with the whole sermon, quoting scripture along the way. Gary said he never missed a beat. He was a go-getter. While he was here at Reinhardt, the church grew and many souls were brought to Jesus. Everett remembers quite well as a very powerful preacher of the gospel about when he was 13 years old, Cecil preached a one-week-long revival here at Reinhardt. I suppose as he's a student at Ozark, he came back and forth during that week and preached a revival every night here at Reinhardt. And by the end of the week, they had a lot of baptisms, Everett said. And he said there were three actually that came forward to dedicate their lives to Christian service. And one of those three was Everett's older sister, Helen Nutt. She was about 15 years old at the time, and she dedicated her life to serve Jesus in whatever way he would lead. She went off to Ozark Bible College, and later then she went to Africa for 14 years of Christian service. And it was actually in Africa that she and her husband Zaiden started Good News Productions International as they were on that mission field. It's always interesting to me the trickle-down effect that we have in the Christian world. It really is a small world when you're a part of Jesus. Not just that trickle-down effect of Cecil Todd and having an influence on Helen Nutt and Zaiden and Good News Productions eventually starting. That's a trickle-down effect that I'm speaking of. But I was thinking, too, of another trickle-down effect. After Cecil left here, he started a ministry based out of Joplin, Missouri. It was called Revival Fires, and he would travel the country doing revivals, tent revivals. And when I was a kid in O'Fallon, Missouri, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I remember a fellow by the name of Cecil Todd who came to our hometown. And he set up this big circus-like tent. And there he held a 2-week-long revival. And my family went to that. Every night we would hustle around and get ready, and we would go to that tent revival. It was actually in Wentzville, Missouri, just a few miles from where we lived. And we would listen to Cecil Todd preach such powerful sermons, hellfire and brimstone kinds of sermons. And people would come and they would give their lives to Jesus. Cecil Todd went to be with Jesus just the early part of this year. I read his obituary here just this week as I was preparing for this. His obituary said he had given 75 years of his life to Christian ministry. He was in his 90s when he passed away. His obituary said that he had traveled over 3 million miles with the gospel, going worldwide, 22 different countries besides the USA. And over 3 million souls had come to Jesus through his preaching. He had once been asked why he had never retired from the ministry. His answer was, "How can I retire when hell is on fire?" Wow. Early on in those revival fire days of ministry, a fellow by the name of Joe Garman began preaching with Cecil Todd. They were partners in ministry. And during one of those revival meetings is when I walked the aisle. and gave my life to Jesus and was baptized. So I find it interesting that my spiritual roots can be easily traced back to a young preacher who had his start right here at Reinhardt. It is indeed a small world when you're with Jesus. And I know that's a long story to make the point that when we give Jesus everything that we have, he can take that gift, though it may be small, and he can multiply it, and he can do great things with it. Cecil Todd would probably in those early days have told you, I really don't have a whole lot to give, but I'm going to give all I've got. And God used that in a great and mighty way. For a moment, I want to remind you of what's going on at this time in Jesus' ministry. He has sent his 12 disciples out to preach. And they've gone out in pairs. It's their first time to go out and preach. Up until this point, they've simply been with him. They've listened to him preach. They've watched him work with people and do miracles. And now Jesus is commissioning them to go out in twos and preach the gospel. And they too will have the power to work miracles. And they have experienced some very exciting things. They have been used by God. They have had power flow through them to do miracles and to cast out demons. It's an exciting time for them. And they come back very enthused. They're wanting to report to Jesus what has happened. And they're very tired. And besides that, as they get back together, news comes to them that John the Baptist has been beheaded by Herod. And so all of this together, Jesus understands the moment that they are in, and he says, let's get away for a while. Let's get in a boat and let's go across the Sea of Galilee. And we'll find a place of privacy, and we can recoup, and we can refresh, and it'll be a good thing. We'll get away from the crowd. And boy, they were ready for that. And so they jump in the boat, and they go across to the other side. And wouldn't you know it, when they get to the other side, there's all kinds of people on the shoreline waiting for them. Can you just put yourself in the shoes of the disciples for a moment as they're thinking they're going to get away. They're thinking they're going to have some relaxation and some refreshment. And now the crowd is there as they're coming into the shoreline. And they are feeling exasperated, I'm sure. They're not wanting to be with all of these people. And the scripture says Jesus was compassionate towards the crowd. And he spent the rest of that day healing the people who were sick and demon-possessed, and he's teaching them about the kingdom of God according to the Gospel of Mark. And they have been with the crowd all day long. And it's getting towards supper time. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, we need to send the crowd away so that they can find something to eat. And Jesus then says, what? You give them something to eat. And you know the rest of the story as we've seen on the video. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. There's nothing out of the realm of possibility when Jesus is a part of it. Whatever you're facing in life, if you invite Jesus to be in the middle of that with you, then miracles can happen. And I hope that you believe that. It was the next day after the feeding of the 5,000 that another large crowd had gathered, and Jesus took the opportunity to teach them some very important truths about the kingdom of God. In this sermon, we will hear him say, "I am the bread of life." For a moment, let me mention to you, this is the second sermon in a little mini series that I'm preaching to you, which I will call, "Who is Jesus?" You remember last week we talked about Jesus being the light of the world. Today we'll see that he is the bread of life. Next week we're going to look at the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We'll probably spend at least 4 weeks, if not more, on this subject of who is Jesus. We have been talking all year long about our witness to people, haven't we? Jesus has given us a mission that is very possible. And as we talk with people, it's important that we help them to know who Jesus is. Our witnessing needs to be more than just come to Reinhardt Christian Church. Now, don't let me have you think that that's not a good thing, that we would be inviting people to Reinhardt Christian Church. We need to be inviting people to Reinhardt Christian Church, and that's something every one of us can do. As we're out and about in our daily lives, we can invite people to come to Reinhardt Christian Church. But also, let me just encourage you to be thinking like this. It's, you know, Reinhardt did not die for anyone. Jesus did. And so, yes, I want to get them here to Reinhardt Christian Church. And as they're here, they'll experience the worship. They'll experience the fellowship. They'll experience the gospel being presented to them. And the Holy Spirit will have a chance to work on them. But always, always, it is our first hope and our first prayer that we can point people to Jesus, because he's the one who saves. Reinhardt does not save anybody. Jesus is the one who saves. And so let's help people be introduced to Jesus. Let's help them know who Jesus is. He is the light of the world, and today he is the bread of life. Let me first say that people everywhere are hungry. I should say they are spiritually hungry. They may not even know that they are spiritually hungry, but they are. You've heard this said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man which cannot be satisfied by any created thing other than God the Father made known through Jesus Christ. Now let those words sink in for a moment. What that's basically saying is God has made us in such a way that we need Jesus. And he's the only one who can satisfy. He is the only one who can bring fulfillment to our life. All of this stuff out there in the world that people are searching, they're looking for something to satisfy them, and oftentimes they're looking in the wrong places. And they'll have an endless search trying to find that which is satisfactory to them. And of course, Satan, he's right there. He's such a liar. He is the father of lies. And he'll lead them astray. He'll say, hey, come over here. Come over here. This will bring you satisfaction. And he'll lead them down the road of alcohol. And he's saying, this will bring satisfaction to you. And so people walk down that road of alcohol, but they don't find satisfaction. They don't find fulfillment. And so they're looking elsewhere, and Satan's there again. He says, hey, come over here. Come over here. Let me lead you down this road. This will surely bring satisfaction to you. And it's the road towards more stuff. Just more stuff. Money and the things that the world says we need. And so we go down that road, and we are just accumulating more stuff, and we're trying to build our fortune, and we find that it's not satisfactory to us. It does not bring fulfillment to us. And so then Satan, he's always right there on time. He will lead us down the road one after another: sex, drugs, career, climbing the ladder of success. And the world finds that as they travel down each and every one of these roads, that it's a dead end. Nothing really satisfies, and that should not surprise us. Jesus forewarned us that only in Him is fullness of life. Only in Him is satisfaction. John chapter 10, he says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The Apostle John reiterated that in his writing. John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he said, he who has the Son has the life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Please hear me say this. Nothing will fill the hole in your heart except Jesus. Absolutely nothing will fill the hole in your heart except Jesus. And so it makes sense for Jesus to say, I am the bread of life. He's the sustenance that will fill our hungry soul. I want you to think with me about this. I am the bread of life. Don't be so quick to get to the end of that line that you miss the first two words. I am, Jesus said. Now, whose name was that in the Old Testament? God's name. And this is not by accident that Jesus says that. Jesus, in this statement, is using God's name for himself. He is attributing God's name to himself. He's claiming to be God. And oh, by the way, he has just the day before multiplied 5 small loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish to feed a crowd of 5,000 men. That doesn't include the women and the children. There may have been close to 15,000 people in that crowd that he multiplied that small boy's lunch and fed that size of a crowd. That's something that only God could do. And I didn't tell you this, but just the night before, he walked on water. And that's something only God can do. Jesus has entered a point in his ministry where he is making it very clear that he and God are one and the same. And keep in mind, this is the first statement of 7 statements that Jesus makes between John 6 and John 15. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. And notice in every one of these statements, the phrase, I am. It's God's name that he is attributing to himself. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, number 7, he says, I am the true vine. Every one of these statements are tying him directly to God the Father. In John 6:41, he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Wow. If you go back to the book of Exodus, God sent what? Down from heaven to feed his people as they're in the wilderness. He sent bread down from heaven. We call it manna. He gave them just enough bread for each day. Jesus is the true bread that has come down from heaven, and he will be all that we need for each and every day. He is all that we need for each and every day. I was talking with my daughter Rebecca recently, and she was expressing worry to me over the phone over something that might or might not happen in the future. Now, sometimes Rebecca can be a little bit of a worrier. And you know, we worry about things. Oftentimes, those things never even come about. They never develop. And so we waste our energy. We waste our all of these frets and worries over things that might not happen. And so as I'm talking to her over the phone, I reminded her of that. I will do that. I'll try and do that as gently as I can. And I say, Rebecca, don't worry about that. It's all in God's hands. And Jesus had something to say about that in one of his sermons. He said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so my challenge to her, as well as my challenge to you and to me, is simply trust God for today. He has enough grace to help us through today. He has enough grace to help us through tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Whatever it is that is going to come our way, he has the grace for us that is sufficient to help us face that day. It's only in him that we find nourishment for our soul. He is the bread of life. And so as I come to the end of this sermon, let me just ask you, have you put your trust in him? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And understand this, he can fill your empty basket to overflowing if you'll surrender your life to him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the one who can multiply the loaves and the fish. And you can take care of us in our troubles. You can help us in our moments of worry. You can satisfy us. Because really, you're the only one who satisfies. And so help us to turn to you and to fully surrender, Maybe there's some here who've never given their life to Jesus. Most of us here, we've done that, but sometimes we aren't trusting you the way that we should. So help us. Thank you that we can be in your hands. Thank you that you are all that we need. You are the bread of life, dear Jesus. Amen.